Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Carter, you want to give it to him right there? I mean, two for two?
Two you got, out of three.
You got it? You're better than that right there?
Yeah, we better
I mean,
that.
It's got it.
You're better than that.
Yeah, let's go.
One out of three, you get a pass.
Exactly.
Oh, let's call Russia.
Well, speaking of that, Adam just gave this to me. A number of actors, including Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Mark Hamill, will star in a stage adaptation of the Mueller Report. The live reading of the special counsel's report will be performed in front of a New York audience and streamed on Monday night.
Wow.
Annette Bening, Sigourney Weaver. Let's see, who would be the Trump folks? John Voight.
Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, our guy. Kevin Sorbo. Hercules.
What about James Woods? Is he still?
Yeah, James Woods.
Does this do anything for you to watch these guys read?
Zero. I mean, if they like acted it out. I mean, if we had like people portraying certain individuals.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
Okay, no, the movie, the Trump movie, I'm all in. Passenger awoke on a plane to find himself alone. How about this one? Quebec City to this small little city I like to call Toronto. Tiffany Adams decided to take advantage of the empty row of seats and take a nap. When she woke up, the plane was completely dark, and she was the only person on the plane. The plane was parked far from the terminal in Toronto, and the flight crew had left her behind. I woke up around midnight, a few hours after the flight landed, freezing cold, still strapped in my seat in complete darkness. She found a flashlight. Try to catch the attention of workers on a tarmac. She was able to open the door. Wow, I'm not even sure how she opened the door, by the way. But now I'm facing a 40-foot drop. A baggage attendant eventually saw her light and brought a ladder truck. The airline offered her a ride home and has apologized. Air Canada also said it's investigating. What should she get for this, Prime Minister Trudeau?
I think a voucher for a couple thousand dollars, maybe.
She's got to get something pretty good, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, and somebody's got to lose a job here, don't I mean, how do you not walk through the – they have to do a final walkthrough, right? All the passengers are gone. Somebody's walking up and down that aisle looking. How do you miss the fact that there's somebody laying across a few seats?
You know what else? She's an excellent sleeper.
Yeah,
that's true.
She is an – I mean, to leave that way – I was talking about our flight dilemma recently. Did you see the Cam Newton dilemma? Cam looked good. He had the cool hat on. Cam, who else is some of the best dressers in sports right now? Russell Westbrook, way up there.
A lot of NBA guys. I mean, Kawhi doesn't use the entrance.
Maybe Kawhi. I think a D Wade.
Any of the Warriors? There's always that shot now of players entering the arena.
It's been going on forever.
Yeah.
It's
like every game.
When I was doing TV, I would literally beg, can we stop doing this? Because I got a feeling like, you know, it was KG obviously forever. I would say, I got a feeling he's going to be here tonight.
He is.
You know, but I need to know what their mindset is when they're walking into the arena. I want to know that they're focused. I want to see the Beats headphones on. I want to see them, you know,
well, now
focused.
Reading the body language.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Now it's for fashion, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So Cam, he didn't have the leg room he wanted. He offered somebody $1,500 for their leg room. It turned out this person was flying back to USA from Paris. On the same flight, it was a big trip. He had proposed to his girlfriend during the Women's World Cup in France.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't Cam Newton have first class to and from Paris?
Life's tough, apparently. Maybe he wanted to say, that'd be tough to, I mean, 15.
Well, are we talking cash or are we talking, you know, some sort of promissory note?
Well,
because if it's just, you know, I'll write you a check or something.
Well, don't you think it's this? It's Venmo
or whatever.
But then gotta be Venmo.
Either way, then I'm pushing for more.
Do you think what is our gut? Do you think Cam has $1,500 on him?
I wouldn't think so. No,
I say no. Carter, you think?
Well, not if he's coming back from Paris.
Francs. Yeah.
Euros.
Adam, how much is it going to take for you to switch seats? Now, it's a long flight.
It would be kind of funny to say, how about $2,000?
Yeah.
See how much you can get them for.
And also say, hey, you know, overthrow me like you do most of the time? Hey, you know.
$1,500 and we get to, you have to talk to me the whole flight.
Well, you wouldn't want that. You don't
I wouldn't
want that either.
I wouldn't normally, but in that situation when you have Cam Newton and, you know,
yeah.
I can try, you know. I know that would not be his, you know, preferred situation to be having to talk to this pudgy dope the whole time. I would do that in a heartbeat.
So I flew Seattle to Minneapolis yesterday. If they pay me for more legroom, how much for me to do it? $100?
Yeah.
$50? I mean.
100.
Yeah. Next time, I'm all in. Let's start negotiating. I'm just having some Mike and Ikes. Where do you put those in the list?
Properly rated.
Properly. I don't have
hot tamales.
Properly rated. I like them. Too spicy for you? I mean, I know you like your.
I like spicy.
Dan, probably too spicy.
No. Hot tamales. I'm in.
Hot tamales.
Yeah, I'm in.
Ross, hot tamales.
Yeah, they're good.
They're good?
Yeah.
Ross, the WCCO banner that we're putting up here in the studio, overrated.
What are you talking
about?
Well,
it's just, I don't know. It's.
Woo! Still looks like woo!
What does it look like?
Like the C's look woo! The way they blow.
What are we, Ric Flair?
We're Ric Flair
Ric
station.
Ric Flair radio.
Woo! That's overrated, by the way.
Yeah, the teams.
Empty ballparks.
Oh, goodness, the teams who use it. Ric Flair, never overrated, properly rated, but the use of it is ridiculous.
I'm talking about now it's at ballparks.
Yeah. Oh, it has been
later
for a while.
Innings, people just constantly yelling it.
Yes.
Ric Flair for a period of time actually underrated, I would say.
Really?
Yep.
When?
Yep. There was a period of time when Vince had finally taken WWE national. And people thought Hulk Hogan's the greatest thing in the history of professional wrestling. Meanwhile, Rick was doing work 10 times as good as Hulk ever did. That he was actually.
I'll push back. I think in the 80s, what was it then? WWF was obviously bigger than the Atlanta outfit. But
have you checked out the lateral deltoid lately?
The lateral deltoid?
We could try him again. You know, he came on multiple times and loved it, and then he ghosted us. I don't know what happened. Toothpicks overrated. Toothpicks.
How's a toothpick overrated?
It's unnecessary. I mean, honestly.
No. That's multi-purpose.
No.
That's not true at all.
Properly rated.
God knows, considering you're such a sick puppy.
The actual.
How you actually
use. The practicality of toothpicks. Many, many uses.
Just travel with floss, okay?
Plus, it's the aesthetic, too, of having the toothpick in the corner.
Who are the modern.
Come on.
Who are the all-time toothpick wearers?
You got to go when you have a toothpick.
UL Washington. Does that name ring a bell?
You got to have a.
Remember?
Got to have a little click.
Dan, the ball guy, UL Washington used to play ball with the toothpick in his mouth.
I don't remember that at all.
UL.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
Let's get one of our guys to do it.
Sure.
Who's most likely? Let's get Scope.
Byron Buxton.
Let's get Scope to stand out a little bit. Scope's fine, but he needs kind of a hook.
Byron Buxton. Alabama kid.
Maybe. I could see Krohn. Over at first base.
Well, it's either who does it fit or allow, see. I'm also saying
I think a
they
DH
stand
probably
up.
Is a toothpick. Guy.
As long as we're talking wrestling, then when you want, you know, it's like somebody gets to first base and Krohn to take it out and flick it at him, Razor Ramon style.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, for sure.
The toothpick.
There's so many uses for it.
Yeah. Well,
you use it to clean your one hitter out. I know that.
I've got something specific for that. I don't know what you're talking about. The TVs on the plane are just so underrated. But I want even more channels. Okay, I want more channels. And why didn't we have the TVs on the planes like 20 years ago? Why did it take so long?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I've never used a plane.
Cost,
a TV
probably.
You've never
plane
used?
TV. No.
Never,
I always bring an iPad or I bring my laptop.
Carter, go ahead.
What?
Go ahead. Give it to him.
How am I a better?
Give it to him right now. Go ahead. Come on. Give him this.
You're better than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, okay, come so on.
What? I mean, if I have access to the stuff I want to watch, why do I need to
you
use the
You have that
TV?
All the time, though. Here's a mix and match. There's a long Save list of different movies. Adam's worried about
Save
your batteries.
Battery? What do we want to throw?
Honestly, come on. Hey, Luddite over there. Hey,
it could be days before you can plug it in again.
Where am I traveling to that it's going to be days before I find an outlet?
The texter who called me a sick puppy.
One sick puppy.
One That's a good sick line. Puppy. The texter's mad that I said Julia Louis-Dreyfus. He's not happy how I said that. Overrated. I don't have a ton this week. Oh, I know. Okay. The NHL draft wonks who are all worried that the Wild have drafted too many left wingers. One, they should worry about their job, first of all. And second of all, they're drafting 18-year-old kids. You have no idea when they're going to be in the league. Yeah, the Wild have too many left wingers. I'm not worried about the 18-year-olds that they drafted, and they're such a glut of left wingers. What do you think of that, Carter?
Just somebody who can score. How about that?
Well, that's another one. They were all mad.
Novel concept.
Because we didn't score. We didn't take this guy who was 4'4",
yeah,
who scored 70 goals. There's a little difference in competition. Although Paul Fenton, he showed us nothing so far, right?
Yeah.
Paul Fenton far is overrated.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got, Carter?
Sunday fun day, properly rated.
Sunday fun. What's happened to this guy? Right,
I don't know.
He's are you? Well,
I'm getting a little concerned.
Are you having a stroke? I mean, you're.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Sunday fun day. Dan Cook.
Yeah.
Average age of someone who says Sunday fun day. I'm going $115.
Are you kidding me?
Sunday.
I've got friends that are younger. I got friends that are younger than me that use the term.
That you Sunday?
Oh, for sure. It's a huge
fun
millennial
day?
Thing. Yes.
Yeah. Sunday, it's a millennial
fun day?
Thing?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
No, it's not.
100%.
Sunday?
Everybody says Sunday fun day.
Who has the pulse on millennials better than Adam Carter over
Text
there?
Text in, millennials. Help me out here.
No this millennials like are saying Sunday
not
fun
true.
Day. He does look like Bart Starr. Wow. Who is that?
I don't know.
Bart Starr, underrated. Doesn't get enough credit.
Wow.
The way he played during that era. Hey, compare his titles compared to the two guys after.
Yeah, right.
A little bit after. That's it? Sunday fun day is your only thing?
That's all I got.
The expression Sunday fun day? Is
no,
that?
The experience, not the expression. That's a great expression. Oh. Here's an underrated one sick puppy using that term.
I just said that. I mean, seriously.
I'm worried.
How far is HCMC from here?
I've got one, but it's going to make Adam. It's going to make Adam really mad.
Go with it.
I've got one. It's going to make Adam really
brainwave activity.
No, well, I mean,
he's going to say.
I am.
You thought it was overrated.
The Holiday Inn pizza that he's been so high on. Home run in. That's it. Whatever.
What pizza?
Home run in. Is that what it's called?
Oh, the frozen one.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously.
Tried it.
Thank you, Dan.
It's fine.
It's fine,
man.
It's fine.
You're way off.
I'm sorry.
You know what the difference was?
It's okay.
You weren't high. He was so high. He used that toothpick over and over again. 22 past 2. Carter might be back or the ambulance might be here. We'll
I'll
let
come
you
up
know.
With some new ones.
Exactly. We'll try to get him to know what day it is when we return. This is a song we played for Adam during the break. He has decided to stay. We talked a lot here about the differing views that people have towards LGBTQ and Pride Month, and made the point that a lot of people made that for a lot of younger individuals, it's a non-starter. It doesn't matter. And we've had poll after poll back that up until this one. Rather surprising. USA Today reported on this. The number of Americans 18 to 34 who are comfortable interacting with LGBTQ people slipped from 53% in 2017 to 45% in 2018. The only age group to show a decline. Survey after survey, until this has been younger people saying, I don't care, right? This is, I've got my own stuff. Whatever makes someone happy, I'm going to show respect. That's fine. It's a Harris poll. Among the findings, 36% of young people said they were uncomfortable learning a family member was LGBTQ compared to 29% in 2017. That's a notable jump. 34% were uncomfortable learning their doctor was LGBTQ, 7% higher than a year earlier. And 39% were uncomfortable learning their child had a school lesson on LGBTQ history versus 30% in 2020. We'll admit I am very surprised by the poll. Harris poll has been around for a long, long time. Maybe this is an aberration. Maybe we're seeing a change. I would have guessed the exact opposite. If somebody would have quizzed me on this and said, "What do you think it's going to be, Dan? What do you think? Does this catch you off guard a little bit, or do you have a theory on this?"
When
at
you
all?
Said it dropped, I was maybe okay, a couple of points or something like that. But that's a significant
7 to 10 points.
Now, like you said, it could totally just be, you know, sampling and what it could be a blip, right?
Yep.
Next year, the number goes right back to where it was. but that catches your attention, a drop of that size, and it makes you wonder, you know. Is this a trend necessarily, or are people being educated differently, or you know what would cause something like? I'm totally spitballing, trying to even speculate what it could possibly be.
I don't have one right now, Adam, and I know folks who the three of us at different times have disagreed on this point and where they stand, and you know, Bible and God and defiance, and my point mainly has been greater acceptance, religious tolerance. Stop being uncomfortable about something that that you're bothered by, that you shouldn't be bothered by, that you're entitled to your views, but trying to impose your will on others. But again, these are pretty good numbers. Dan and I are admitting we don't have a particular theory on why these numbers have changed, and I have no idea if this will continue. But Adam, if they dropped 7 to 9, 10 points, we would say it's notable. So if they're going the opposite way, absolutely it's notable. What's your theory?
I don't really have it. I have. It's inexplicable to me because this is Generation Z, and Generation Z is supposedly the all encompassing, all accepting group. So
yeah,
I would have no idea unless like it could be a blip. But
I guess we'll see, and we'll see if there are other polls that back this up.
The one that jumps out to me is when you talk about the doctor, right? That so many people would be uncomfortable with their doctor turning out to be LGBTQ plus.
I think that's sad.
It's ridiculous. It's this ridiculous notion that if somebody is gay, that means they literally can't control themselves. Yeah. And as soon as they see a person of the same gender, it's immediately they want to jump them and have sex with them. Your doctor isn't interested in having sex with you, whether you're a man or a woman or an alien. They don't care.
No.
That you're uncomfortable. Stop it. Just stop it. That's ridiculous.
Right. It's like, do you think that way, female, male doctor who's heterosexual, that if they ever see you, their first thought is, wow, I get to see this person naked.
I want some of that.
And by the way, I can't control myself because...
I heard the same thing like with gym locker rooms and stuff like that. It's just like, stop it.
Yeah.
That person's not there. To have any part of you. Just knock it off.
They're going to change and go work out. 31 past 2, traffic and weather when we come back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bernie says, Elizabeth, I'm going to top you on this one today. Bernie Sanders, by the way, is still an independent. Is he ever going to become a Democrat? How many times is he going to run for the nomination of the Democrats' party before he actually becomes a member of the party? He will propose today eliminating all $1.6 trillion of student debt. That will cover 45 million Americans, including all private and graduate school debt. He's going to pay it through Wall Street. Ilhan Omar is one of the representatives who's a part of this in the House, obviously Bernie in the Senate. So he brought up tuition-free college during 2016 and pushed Hillary that way. Elizabeth Warren, we touched on this a little bit about a month ago, came out with a proposal. Warren's costs $640 billion in student forgiveness. Julian Castro introduced a more modest debt forgiveness plan. Conservatives and moderate Democrats, as I read from the Washington Post story, are likely to raise concerns about the student debt forgiveness plan. They have pointed out that the Democratic candidates, Medicare for All, Green New Deal, infrastructure improvements, and all the different costs tied to this. The top 40%, when we're talking about Elizabeth Warren's plan, of earners would receive 2/3 of the benefits from Warren's plan, according to a former Treasury official under Barack Obama, not under Donald Trump. So the perpetual debate has been out there for a while. If, you know, elementary school and middle school and junior high school, whatever you might call it, in high school, at the public level is free, should we have free access to college? I am for us having greater opportunities for scholarships. I am all for further opportunities when we're talking about individuals who might be getting help from parents and parents' income is under a certain salary. But I am reluctant to wipe away $1.6 trillion worth of debt, just completely whole. Does either party give a damn about the national debt? Does that matter at all? Because we keep hearing about it. Well, let's just go from W on. Because it obviously was a different world under Bill Clinton. W decided to join the fray for two wars. One, he had no choice without paying for it. Obama had the economy implode, but people say it was too much. Although if you look at Obama's numbers near the end, they're so much better than Donald Trump's numbers. And I figure Donald Trump, with a Republican as president and controlling the House and Senate, that would come up. And so if you're telling me we're going to look at more and eliminate portions of it, or more importantly, going forward, we come up with ways. But this is an extraordinary amount of money. And I completely understand. I was fortunate. I had someone who helped me out. Guilty. Both arms in the air. I found ways to make further money when I was going to school and stayed busy pursuing opportunities tied to my job. But I didn't walk out with extraordinary loan debt such as tens of millions of people face. So I am not trying to diminish that, scoff at that. And since, you know, Adam has his finger on the pulse of millennials better than anybody, we'll get to him in a matter of seconds. But you see these stories when, you know, you graduate and you have to live at your parents' house because your student debt is so much, or you have to get an apartment and you can't do the house. But I'm sorry, I am reticent to wipe away every single penny, because we have to pay for some of this, don't we? And we have different ideas because we do have a massive split in this country regarding the upper level and how they're flourishing, and how the middle class in some ways and lower have not had a chance to experience all this. Yes, some of the numbers towards the end of the Obama regime and now the Trump administration, some of those are pretty good. But many, millions upon millions of people are struggling. But I'm not in favor of wiping every penny away. Adam Carney, you want to wipe it all away?
No, I mean, I'm up for, you know, reconstructing the loans so
yep.
that they're easier to pay back.
Yep.
But, yeah, I just think that's a too large a step to take. I mean, is there a problem with the cost of a secondary education, high school, or a college education? Of course. But, yeah, and I get, you know, my experience limited to the student loans that I had and had to pay back, and I know that many people had much more crushing debts than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it still is a debt that you are taking on willfully. It's not, nobody's forcing you to go to college and pay a certain amount of tuition.
It is a difficult system, but you know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. And we obviously can have countries, Dan, that can reevaluate and find different ways. But you walked into this situation. It is difficult. But just to take this $1.6 trillion and say, ah, we're good. Well, give me the other areas where other people are facing also extraordinarily difficult debt situations. Where's the line for those folks to get help?
Well, I mean, I think at some point we're going to hit a critical mass and something's going to have to happen. You know, maybe it's Adam's idea of restructuring the debt, but at some point it's already out of hand and it's going to get worse before it gets better. Something needs to be done. Now, wiping it clean with Bernie's plan of taxing Wall Street transactions, I don't see how that's even – as somebody who's accruing student debt as we speak and would love to see that wiped out, I don't know how that's even remotely feasible. You would put the stock market in the tank in 2 seconds if you decided every Wall Street transaction's going to be taxed and that's how we're going to pay for this. It's just not even remotely doable in my opinion.
And there are others who are saying this isn't going to come close to the amount of money.
What I would love to see is a refocus on providing free access or, you know, reduced price access to community colleges, to trade schools, to stuff like that, because I think the way that the workforce and the economy is going, those are going to be only more and more valuable to kids. And not everybody belongs in a four-year institution, but that's been the tradition for so long now, right? You have to go to the four-year college to get a degree, to get a better job. Well, no, you don't anymore. That's just not how it works. Right. And if we can refocus people and start directing people in more appropriate areas, I think that'd be enormously helpful.
Okay, that's all valid. If we want to look at the interest rates going forward, if we want to continue to look at the extraordinary expansion of costs tied to colleges, I am willing, I think that is incumbent upon ours. But Adam, let's also deal with this fact. Elizabeth Warren, the last 6 weeks or so, has been surging, and Bernie has been starting to fall back. To me, this is Bernie saying to the left side of the party, which is where he will be entrenched with a battle to the end with Elizabeth Warren, I am more of a true believer than she is, and I think everything. It's under Bernie's and Warren's view of this country, I'm out. I don't want the tax rates they want. I don't want Medicare for all the way they want it. The problem is, I still think this is the conversation again, Adam, where we say, we've got the Trump folks. Because I'm sorry, I felt like whoever won in 2016 that at a serious restructuring of our taxes made sense, including, by the way, on the corporate rate. It made sense, but so much of that money, which went to the businesses, and we heard this from Mnuchin and Cohn and Pence and Trump, that money was going to be reinvested and, turned over to the workers. That hasn't happened. I mean, how many studies do you have to see that? So, again, we've got one way out to the right where too much of that tax cut was for the 1%. Now we have over here where let's make so many things in society free. Listen, a greater attack on the reality of climate change, I am all in. But when AOC rolled out the new Green Deal, there were some bizarre ideas. And let's not forget that, Adam. Remember when they said, oh, that wasn't our final copy. There was different things out there. It was such BS. You just were caught with an idea that plausibly made no sense. So again, where does about 60 to 70% of this country go with some of these ideas? Pretty simple. I want your texts and phone calls when we return, because it's 2:46, we'll have time. Do you want all student debt wiped away? Do you think that is the best way for our economy and our country going forward, where you say to so many of these individuals in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, now, listen, the more money you have that you can spend and it goes into our economy, it's better for all of us. And we'll take the $1.6 trillion hit as a country, and we're better off for it. I don't want that. 2:47. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to learn why Lindus is the top installer of LeafGuard brand gutters throughout the world. From now on, refer to Adam Carter as one sick puppy.
OSP.
One sick puppy. Among the texts coming on Field of Burns' idea to wipe away, why doesn't he just wipe away all debt?
Credit card debt.
Bills.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be okay.
Go
Dan?
I mean, he can take away my debt.
Right, that'd be fine.
Just racking them up.
I'm not going to say no.
God knows how. What this sick puppy, where he'd spend his money. Among the texts, stop hating rich people. No one made you go to an elite school and rack up a boatload of debt. I'm going to stop right there. If this texter believes everybody racks up debt, went to elite schools, I'm not sure I'm buying that. I'm blue collar. My daughter goes to St. Thomas. Oh, what a bully she must be, Carter. She wants to take on St. Olaf and Gustavus and just dominate them. She works her butt off to pay for a nice school. Congratulations, in all sincerity. I help out by working overtime, so sick it's not fair attitude in this country. I cannot afford it. Bail me out, okay? Sheesh. What do you think about that word, Carter? Sheesh.
Sheesh.
Sheesh. How do you spell sheesh in your book?
That's accurate. Two E's, yeah.
Yep, two E's. If I'm elected, everyone gets a pony. I wouldn't want a pony. Pony's overrated. Carter?
That'd be fun for a while.
Dan, pony?
Yeah.
How about at the St. Louis Park apartment?
Yeah, that wouldn't work so well, no.
You got to put your grocery bags over Buttercup while you're walking through the aisles?
Better name for a pony than Buttercup. I don't think you can top it. Can we have an on-air show meeting? Let's get somebody on tomorrow to talk Santa Anita. Over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh sure. Yeah, yeah.
Over the weekend. Yep. The 30th horse died.
Why it took that long to shut her down.
How has this happened? How has this been going? There's been plenty of reporting on it. Unbelievable. You nailed it. People took on debt willingly. Did they look at the math beforehand, return on investment? Nobody's going to pay off my loans if I buy a house. 80% of college degrees are worthless. I say this as a proud, not proud college grad. The idea that a four-year degree is essential to success has to go. Adam, do you believe 80% of college degrees are worthless?
I don't think it's that high. But I certainly agree with the assessment that there is, I think, the mentality that you need a four-year degree to be a success. I think that is a myth, certainly.
I think it's a myth, but then also when you look at the salaries tied, finish high school, don't finish high school, finish 2 years, finish 4 years, Dan, the numbers, they're not fake news.
No, there's a reason that the numbers have borne it out, but the thing of it is, I think we're at a pivot point where that's changing, where there are plenty more opportunities now to have successful careers and good-paying jobs coming out of a two-year school, coming out of a trade school, than there ever have been before, and I think that statistic's going to change in the next decade or so.
Serious question. I'm reading more texts here. For the millions of Americans like myself that did not go to college and take on the debt because they knew they couldn't pay it back, do we get free college? I think that's a very good question, Adam, right? If you said, I can't pay these loans and I have to do different things, and all of a sudden now you would have had it gratis, you're kicking yourself for not going. All right, let's get to a couple callers here. Marty, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Do you think, yes or no, Adam Carter is one sick puppy?
I love Adam Carter. I can't say anything bad about him.
Boom.
That's a non-answer, Marty.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love that guy, Chad.
He is a sick puppy, though.
Two things, man. And I work in corporate America. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting an MBA. So I'll take the other track, okay? The four-year college degree, I got beat over the head, and I've been going to school for years, off and on, night school, day school when I could, slogging through 20 years to finish a four-year degree.
Yep.
I can tell you this. I got beat over the head because I only had a two-year technical degree. Well, we can't promote you. We'd love to, but you don't have the four-year. Then I get the four-year, and now I get, we'd love to advance you in this position, but you don't have the MBA. So I went to graduate school, and I want to share some real numbers with you, Chad. Credit, $878 a credit at St. Kate's. Okay, that's not a prestigious school.
Yep.
Here's my issue. I take one class. It's $3,400 with books. Okay, that stings. Ouch. That's a lot of money.
Right.
I had some help along the way, Chad, from companies, you know,
yep.
willing to help reimburse you, you know, for your undergraduate, but not your graduate. Here's my problem. Politicians like to talk about surface issues a lot. And the same criticism I'm leveling here at Bernie and others who are talking about this. The root cause is not the debt that they incurred. It's the corporatization of universities. I mean, it basically now you know, administration is so yep. expensive. Overhead is so expensive.
The U of M is very guilty of that.
It's crazy, Chad. And they've corporatized college to the point where it is actually unaffordable. And, oh, no, it's easy terms. You take out these loans.
Yep.
You know, there's no such thing, Chad. You know,
I know
nothing's easy.
Last thing, Bill, Marty, stop swinging dead cats. I mean, that's got to be dangerous at work. Bill, we got a minute to go. A yes or no, is Adam a sick puppy?
No.
Jeez. Seriously, you need to work with them. Go ahead, Bill.
I think what they maybe need to do is maybe have a kind of a graduated system where maybe reduce a little bit, but when they get their job and if they move up in their in a job and they start making more money, they pay more, and then the difference could be made up by Bernie Sanders and all these people. Take it out of their wage, out of their salary.
Thank you. So the idea, Adam, is you're paying more down the road, depending upon your salary, as opposed to that, you know, onerous debt that you have right from the get-go. To me, there are different ways to look at it. I just am extraordinarily wary of just saying $1.6 trillion, you're all safe, because I think one of the texters nailed it. How about all the people who made different decisions because of that? Adam, if you were going to...
How about a graduated system where you pay based on your outcome? So, like, I got C's, so, like, you know, I get a 50% off of what I paid.
Yeah. And you know what you are?
One sick puppy.
So is Marty for swinging a dead cat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.